won her dance on the mountains, won her dance from the sea, won her dance, made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands on the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands heal the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when
Yahweh. commandments. The Bible said, if you say love him and you won't keep his commandments, the Bible said the truth is not in you, and you have passed from death. Screaking? Okay, well, off, I guess. Hold on here. Is that one on? Better turn it down. I think it got somebody here. Dave said it sounded pretty good. But it's creaking in there?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hold on, folks. We're going to change phones here.
For this interruption.
All right. You want to see how that goes? Well, praise Yahweh. We're glad that we got that straightened out and we don't have any problem, any more problem. Maybe we can get an email and find out what's going on here. Praise Yahweh. Better. Brother Randy said better. Well, let's go to the Bible. Now, last night we started in the 18th chapter of the book of Acts. Apollos, he needed to know the way of Yahweh more perfectly. And so when Aquila and Priscilla took him aside, aren't you glad one day that somebody took you aside and taught you the way of Yahweh more perfectly? Aren't you satisfied more with obedience than you are with a hearsay? Aren't you glad you're hated for his name's sake? Aren't you glad that when you would do good, evil is always present? It could work in your wife. It could work in your children. It could work in your best friend or your worst enemy. Or it could work in you. Be not deceived, for Yahweh is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's what the Bible said. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you know to do good and do it not, it's sin. So why would we say that we loved him when we won't keep his commandments? Apollos was mighty in the scriptures and fervent in the spirit, but he didn't know anything about the Creator. You may be on fire. You may be shouting your shoe heels off. It's not how high you jump. It's what you jump with. And if you jump without the Holy Ghost or the truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And most people say he'll set you free. Don't say that. He'll make you free. It's a difference. If you set a caged tiger free in a 10 by 10 cage, his will becomes restricted to 10 by 10, although he's free to roam in 10 by 10. When you're made free, if you open the door to the tiger and let him run free, that's made free. You make him free by opening the door to the 10 by 10 and opening him up to all of the world, which would be his Roman blade. That's what Yahweh wants you to be. He wants you to be free. Paul said, I'm born free. If you're born from above, then you know you're free. You don't have to be restricted to fear, to superstition, or to brothers or false. You know, I sat in a church one time for over 20 years and finally began to see that the brothers were holding out. They themselves would not walk in and hindered me from walking in. And when I separated myself from these disorderly brothers and went to my cave and pushed my plate back, got me a gallon of good branch water, Tennessee sipping water, went to my cave and started fasting and praying, I began to get a revelation So, as the old saying goes, a bad apple will spoil the whole barrel. Weed out negativity. Get away from people that's negative. Cling to that which is good. Hold fast to the revelation of truth, no matter if your wife don't love you. So what? It is better to be on a half stop away from a brawling and contentious woman that lives inside. Escape from the traditions of the world. Oh, I know that there's joy for a moment. But the Bible said Moses forsook the pleasures of Egypt just to lead. I'm going to show you who he led. You know what type of a people that he led, that he worried with for 40 years? Actually, he led them for 80 years. 40 years in the wilderness. And 40 years to get there. And when he got there, they were still rebellious and stiff-necked. And I'm going to prove it to you here tonight. And that's how people are, by keeping a traditional Passover. Like I said last night, there is no scripture in the Bible, and I've been searching a long time, 50 years plus, that I've turned the pages on the Bible. I've worn several Bibles out. I've read them backwards and forwards, trying my best to strive to show myself a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. It's what you can read, not what you think. The Bible said you can believe a lie and be deceived. And there is a way that seems right, and from such turn away. Notice in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 2, and he said unto me, Son, Yahweh said to me, Son. Boys, what an honor to be called son. Makes you feel good when your daddy will acknowledge you as a son. Of man, stand up on your feet. You know what, men? I like men that can stand on their feet. They don't have to answer to anybody but Yahweh. They won't back down. They won't give up. When the going gets tough, they get going. The harder things get, the harder they work. They press toward the mark and the high calling, which is in the Creator, which is a reasonable service. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy. That's why when the festival comes around, Pastor Betty is going to be in the Passover, Yahweh willing. I haven't missed one in over 23 years. Not one. The devil tried to knock me out a couple. One time, and this has been about 5 to 7 years ago, I had to get out of a sick bed 3 days after the festival begun, and I had to literally drive myself alone when I could barely hold my head up. And I had to drive through the mountains here into North Carolina from the Tennessee side. If you've ever driven in Tennessee and North Carolina Smoky Mountains, you know what kind of a hairpin curves and twisting and turning. But the closer I got to the festival, the better I begin to feel. I ask Yahweh, Yahweh, you ride with me. I don't feel like going. I made 3 attempts to get out of bed and got so sick the first 2 attempts I had to turn around and come back home. And finally it dawned on me. Satan, you get behind me. You're not going to detour me from serving Yahweh. And the Bible said, if there first be a willing man, my man was willing, my body was disobedient. But when I got into North Carolina, the closer I got to king was going to see me through and praise Yahweh. Now, notice what these people done. You know, the people go to ball games. Have you ever seen that? They'll go to ball games, and they will sit in sub-zero weather with shirts off. They will paint their face. They will scream to the top of their voice till they lose their voice for their favorite team. Well, I'm on Yahweh's team. I volunteered. Nobody forced me. I came willingly, and I submitted myself to Yahweh and to His Word, and I promised Him that I would serve Him till I die. I'm on the battlefield for Yahweh. The Spirit of Yahweh entered me, and He spake unto me. You ever had that thing happen to you, ladies and gentlemen? And He set me up on my feet. There you go. If you can't walk, if you hold on, you get that touch. You can walk. You can shout. You can run. You can mount up on the wings of an eagle. You can press forward into the high calling and the mark that is set before you. Run for the race for the prize. I'm in it for winning eternal life. I heard Him as He spake unto me, and He said unto me, the Son of Man, I send you to the children of Israel, a rebellious nation. Oh, they'll keep Easter. They'll worship Talmud. They'll get ready for Santa Claus. They'll have Easter eggs. And they'll do the bunny hop. They'll take their children and participate in something that they can't read. And then when a prophet of Yahweh stands up and gives you something out of the Bible, particularly here, the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus and the 23rd chapter of the book of Leviticus, where He said three times a year, fail not. And ladies and gentlemen, you may not feel like going sometimes. If you don't, pull off your shirt. If it's too cold, tell the devil he's a liar and pull your shirt off and prove it. Sit outside in sub-zero weather and holler for Yahweh until you lose your voice. You stand up and shout that you've made victory and you've overcome by your testimony. But listen, son of man, I send you to the children of Israel, a rebellious nation. Rebellious. Oh, I like Talmuds. I like to worship Easter. I like to eat hams out of the ovens. I like to have Easter eggs. I know it's just for the children. I know I can't read it. I know it's tradition, but I don't see nothing wrong with it. You know, the Bible says it's the little foxes, the little wrongs that spoil the vine. You watch for a big fox, but it's a little fox that creep in and eat your garden up. You better make sure that your faith is anchored in something better than Santa Claus. There's something better than a chocolate Easter bunny or an Easter egg or some kind of other tomfoolery that people go home with. Oh, yeah, but it's so nice. There's so many upstairs. In fact, buddy, we go to your little vessel, and there's just a little old shirt tail full. Well, let me ask you a question. Would you rather go to heaven with a few, with a straight gate and narrow way, people? Or would you rather go to hell with the many? Broad is the way, wide is the gate, and a bunch of people, many, that are going down to the traditional trail of keeping tradition that had been set up by the whole church. And the Bible said, those who commit fornication with her, I'll cast you in the bed of hell, and I'll laugh at your calamity and mock when your fear comes. You say, oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, He's going to forgive me. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what He said He was going to do when He came back? He's going to sit on the throne of His glory. And He's going to say, gather all of those who love Talmuds, who love Easter eggs, who love Santa Claus, who loved Halloween, who loved the things of the world, and the big churches with a stained glass, and a good name. Bring them before me and slay them, because slay them. Slay them? Jesus wouldn't do it this way, Pastor Buddy. Well, Yahweh will, because he is a God of vengeance. I will repay them to their face. Ezekiel, Son of Man, these people are rebellious, and they rebel against me. They are slow to do good, but they're quick to do evil. And their fathers also taught them, because they also transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are imprudent children, and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith Yahweh. And they, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear. See, Yahweh's giving you a choice. Choose this day. Will you hear? Blessed are your ears, for they hear. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Because these people who are rebellious and stiff-necked have eyes to see. Well, now, Pastor Buddy, I don't believe it matters what Passover you keep. I said last night, if you are a Torah breaker, you're born for the undertaker. Blessed are they that do my law and keep my commandments. When you find yourself in a far journey, when you're separated from the commonwealth and scattered, you rebellious people, who your fathers taught you to rebel against me and learn the ways of the heathen. Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, learn not the ways of the heathen. You know, I marvel every seasonal thing, like the winter season, which is what we call the winter festival. Yahweh attended a few of those. Today, he would be appalled at Christmas time, about 2 weeks or 3 weeks before Christmas. You'll see them going into these big cedar or these Christmas trees, and they purchase them a tree, pay enormous funds. They won't support the truth. They wouldn't send you $5 to preach the truth. But they will buy a lie from a salesman who has got Christmas tree. If you learn the ways of the heathen, you won't have to make money off of them. Because the heathen love heathen ways. Learn not the ways of the heathen. Turn your foot from the house of a fool. Follow them not, but obey me. And tell them they are a rebellious, imprudent, for they are rebellious out, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. In the last days, ladies and gentlemen, this message may not be so effective, but if it's the word of Yahweh, don't learn the way of the heathen. Don't go in and cut down a tree, bring it home and nail it to the floor, decorate it with tinsel, and lay Christmas presents under it, which this is the sign of the heathen, the rebellions, nothing biblical about it. But people say, oh, it's such a beautiful message, and I just love Christmas time. People are so loving and giving. All of this is pagan. It sounds good. It looks good. It has a seem-right to it. What about the old prophet Jeremiah? When he didn't go along with the traditions, Jeremiah 10 and 2, learn not the way of the heathen. You know what they done for him? They put him in prison for preaching the word. You know what they done for Isaiah? For teaching again truth of the gospel. But because when a truth preacher comes along that will not compromise, that will not back down, that will not yield at the truth, and will not preach any strange fire among the assembly, or sow discord among the brethren. You know what Yahweh hates? Seven things. One of those is a brother that sows discord. You come with another name. That's discord. Other than what you can read in the Bible and prove. Well, we got people all over the world that uses another name. And yet there's not another, but they use a name that you cannot prove in the Bible. You can't spell it correctly. It's incorrectly spelled. It's incorrectly sounded. So that they can get their pieces into the mix. Jesus is a hybrid name. It sounds good to the heathen. It looks good to the heathen. And a lot of heathen preachers are preaching it, and they're preaching it falsehood, and they come past land and sea, and what they do, they make the believer in this false name. You say, well, I can understand, Pastor Buddy, why you ain't got a lot of people, because 99% of the people believe in the name of Jesus. It's the saving power of God. What kind of a power would a false name be? The Bible said that the beast, Satan, would come in and have the people worship a false name that they would even kill you for. I've had knives pulled on me. I've had guns pulled on me. I've been threatened with my life. But I keep on preaching Yahweh. Why? I don't learn the ways of the heathen. Jeremiah didn't change because they didn't believe Yahweh. Yahweh's prophets are out there preaching the word. His witnesses all over the world are remnant few that are preaching the truth of Yahweh and saying, learn not the ways of the heathen, depart from those ways, hold fast to my name. Now, how many the scriptures could you get in the Bible to prove the name of Yahweh versus any other name? Well, how could it be another name if I can use 7,000 scriptures that prove the name of Yahweh is a strong tower and the righteous run it into their safe, Proverbs 18 and 10, how could you bring up another name? You say, well, a verse two or three of them, Pastor Buddy. There's God, and there's Jesus, and that's two. And there's the Holy Ghost, that's three. Let me give you a scripture that you might want to consider. Why don't you read the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is Yahweh with us. Isaiah, again, the old prophet that they cut his body up in parts. They hated this prophet. What a beautiful prophet. How I adore his word. Sweet in your mouth and bitter in your belly. When you start putting into practice what Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, the son of man, the prophets that said, learn not the ways of the heathen. Do not conform yourself to the tradition. If you've got a wife that wants to go to Easter egg hunt, get rid of her. If you won't line up the word of Yahweh, you don't need her no way. She's a hindrance. If you've got a husband that wants to run with the world, waste all of your money on foolishness and sin, get rid of him. Put him over in the tree shape. Turn him over to a reprobated mind of believe a lie and be damned. And come and join the precious few that know the name, that know when a gospel word comes. You say, well, I believe it's a person, Pastor Boy. I hear these preachers, some of them are friends. Now, I said, two can't walk together unless they agree. Every time I get a chance to hit them with a word, I'm going to hit them. And they do me likewise. I learn under one of the most strictest pull yourself up and keep on climbing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have been knocked down, and drug out. But I keep on and keep it on for Yahweh. I get right back into the fight. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Here, Jeremiah is dealing with a rebellious nation. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, I know that he died on the first Passover, and I can prove it. Well, I've got a reward for you. If you can prove that the Messiah died on the first Passover, I've got a reward for you. Let's go over to the Bible, and we're going over here to the 14th chapter of the book of Mark. Then we're going over to the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew. Then we're going to John 13, and we're going to read you the whole scenario of the Passover. Most people think that he ate the Passover. Ladies and gentlemen, the last Passover that he ever attended, he attended his own funeral. When they were eating and drinking and being merry, he was laying in a tomb, dead, killed by the enemy who knew what they were doing. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Luke 34, verse 32 and 3. When the original Greek said, Father, forgive them not, for they know what they do. You mean to tell me that the devil didn't know what he was doing when he killed your Savior? And you want to conform and tell us that these people were blind and didn't know what they were doing? Just like these people here who deny the second Passover, and deny that they're a poor journey, so they can keep their tradition. Look on their eyes, they think that they're breaking the law if they don't keep the first one. You're breaking the law if you do keep it. It's opposite. And the devil's got you so deceived that even a castle won't remind you. If they wouldn't hear Jeremiah, they're not going to hear me. If they didn't hear Isaiah, they're not going to hear me. If they didn't hear Ezekiel, they're not going to hear me. So these three major prophets in the Bible, who taught the festivals, who taught the traditions of the elders, which is the ways of Yahweh, which is right, versus the ways that have been changed, which is wrong. There's no such word in the Bible as Easter. And 99% of the Christians believe in Easter and believe in the rapture. Neither one of them is going to happen because Easter is a pagan word worshiping Ishtar, the pagan goddess, and Talmud, that God, who now is known as Jesus. Zeus, the principal sky god. Look at the name Jesus. It's not even in the 1611 Bible. You cannot find J-E-S-U-S, and yet you want to hang on to it. Learn the ways of the heathen. Being deceived because it's a way that it seems right. Here it is. After two days, well, this is what gets the devil, man. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. These two are uniquely tied together. We kill the lambs in the biblical Passover on the 14th day at 3 o'clock, the very hour, the ninth hour, when he had not been the Passover lamb. He died when they were actually slaughtering the lamb. This is an allegory, a type and shadow, and metaphors that is a teaching aid to get you to see and open up your eyes. For there is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is death. If you don't study, if you don't pray, if you don't listen to Jeremiah, then don't listen to me. If you didn't listen to Ezekiel, you're not going to listen to me. If you don't listen to Isaiah, and you're not going to listen to me, or you're not going to listen to all the witnesses, for Yahweh said, you are my witnesses, and they're going to tell you just exactly what Pastor Buddy's preaching to you. Notice it. Verse 2. Proves, now listen to me well, proves that even the Jews would not kill him on the 14th day of the first Passover. But they said not on the feast of Passover, the 14th day when he was to die, when he was to be slaughtered, but they said not on our first Passover. They were keeping the first Passover because they were local, and the Messiah kept 32 of them. And here's the 33rd Passover. He was the Passover, and he didn't need it. And they said, let's don't kill him on our Passover. So they branded him unclean. Let's just drop a cross. Draw your line from verse 2 over to verse 12. Now the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed, Passover, not kill, not to kill, before the Passover, it says, when they killed, that's 10. Ladies and gentlemen, I just didn't follow up a turnip truck. I've studied a word. You need to study. Killed is past tense. When they had killed the Passover, well, now, wait a minute. They said, is the devil said unto him? How can you talk to a dead man on the Passover when the lambs had been killed? And here he's still alive in the first Passover. Now, again, which Passover do you think that they killed him in? When they branded him unclean for raising Lazarus and having dinner with a leper, both of them was a justifiable grounds for branding him unclean and not giving him the opportunity to administer the first Passover. Now, my question to you is, when he got through with this rebellious house in 721 B.C., and we're reading here in the book of Ezekiel, who was told to tell him that they were rebellious, and that they were sent into a far journey because they were rebellious. They would not keep his faith. They would not keep his Passovers true. They would not keep the Sabbath, but broke them. They learned the way of the heathen. They started hiding Easter eggs. Oh, yeah. Long before the Baptist church started hiding Easter eggs, they were hiding Easter eggs before the Baptist church was ever invented. Long before the Catholic Church started hiding Easter eggs and worshiping Ishtar, the goddess, in the Godhead, there was prophets that were preaching against this foolishness. And yet you go along with it because you're weak-kneed, pigeon-toed, hub-backed, and under your wife's skirt tail, probably, worshiping your wife. Your wives are your gods. And they put on their fancy garments. Go to Isaiah chapter 3 and see what these headship wives were doing. Who is the head of woman? Man. Who's the head of man? Yahweh. forget Yahweh, and don't let him keep his commandments. That's as plain as I can make it. And yet I preach, and I wail, and I weep like the weeping prophet Jeremiah. I shout like Ezekiel shouted upon the wall as a watchman. I've been beaten like Isaiah. But we're more than conquerors because we keep the faith with a remnant of a precious few. Here it says, what will we do to keep the Passover? Now, you think he's dead? It came to pass when they killed the Passover. It could have been him in the first one. He escaped the first one and got him in the second one when they branded him unclean. When this big crowd went home, they said, just don't kill them on ours. There's too many people in town. Let's just go ahead and brand him unclean because we know he touched Lazarus. That would qualify. Any student of the Bible could see this. A blind man, though a fool, would not err therein. But we got preachers that steal one of their tassels and their own beards, preach against Santa Claus, preach against Easter, preach against a false name, and yet they themselves fail to see the revelation because they're blinded or because of some tradition that they want to stick with their tradition. That's the problem with the people. Now, we're going to go over and confirm it. The Bible said confirm it in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Let's run over here to the book of Matthew, and we're going again to see if this is a confirmation of the two prophets that are witnessing here about the same message. Again, we go to the book of Matthew in chapter 26, verse 1. And it came to pass that when the Messiah had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, you know, again, the prophets agree here, Matthew and Mark, you know that after 2 days the feast of Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to be crucified. And he said, to be crucified. What does that mean? Was it in the first one or the second one? Did he know which one he's going to be crucified in? I think he did. Listen to this. Then they assembled together. Remember on the 13th night, he was assembled with his disciples, eating a preparation meal to get himself ready for the 14th day. That's when they arrested him and took him off and gave him this condemnation to die. Then they assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace, and they consulted that they would take him by subtlety, in other words, slip and get him, without a charge, without a just charge, because they couldn't find a fault in him, but they trumped up one, that they might kill him. But they said no. No to the first Passover. Are you going to say no to the first Passover? Are you going to commemorate in remembrance of the one he died in? I got a brother sitting right here with me tonight, several brothers, and they can all tell you that they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are commemorating through remembrance. The only thing that you do here is eat a meal of brotherhood and remember, just like he was doing. He desired to eat it, but he didn't. Say, I believe it, do you? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've got a message for you. You can't prove it. Bob said, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. I'm not afraid to get into this subject and debate anybody in shoe leather, because I know what you can read and what you can't read. Now listen here, but they said, verse 5, Matthew 26, but they said, now these are the Sanhedrin officials, the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, who hated him because they knew who he was, but they were afraid to kill him on the first Passover. They would have been a riot because
because hundreds of thousands of people were present in the first Passover, and they said, not on our Passover, lest there be an uproar. Well, now, I want to ask you a question again. If they didn't kill him in verse 5, they said, let's don't kill him in this one. We could go over to verse 17. Now, on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, first day, does that mean after or before? Does first mean after or before? Now, on the day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, first day, not second day, not third day, first day, that's the day that you eat the Passover meal. Always begins in the evening of the 15th day. Had he ate his meal? Let's see here. No. He couldn't participate in the first Passover. It tells you right here he couldn't. The disciples came to him. Now remember, it was the first day when people had already eaten the meal. Now, they ask him, where do we go that we may prepare to eat the second Passover? It's basically what they're saying. And then he tells them to go to the city. And we know in John 11, verse 54, where he actually went to keep or to prepare to keep the second Passover, when he would come back, cleanse himself through the cycle of touching a dead man or eating with a leper. Both of them were qualification for disbanding from the first Passover. According to Numbers chapter 9, very clearly, the house of Israel, who now is only qualified to keep the second Passover. I don't know how much plainer that Pastor Buddy can make it. You people ought to come in droves. We ought to have standing room only. You ought to be pulling your shirt off if it was 40 below zero and beating your chest and praising Yahweh for the revelation of truth that you could memorize and you could memorialize the right date to keep the Passover on the second Passover in the one he died in. Here, Paul, I done proved to you, he kept the second Passover in Acts chapter 20, verses 6. He would not sail from Philippi. He couldn't make it back to the home port. I proved that last night. How many more scriptures do I need to give you? The Bible said to prove all things, and with patience. I preach on this every season of Passover. Now, our Passover will be commemorating and memorizing the second Passover in the month of May. The first Passover is in Abib, the year of green barley. Now, when you see this season, you are to forbear keeping the first one because you're in a far journey. You don't qualify. You break the commandment. You break the law. You break the Torah. You might as well pull off your tassels. You might as well shave your beard and shame yourself. Shame on you who deny the word of Yahweh. Shame on you who add to. Or shame on you who take from. Shame on you when you bring confusion to the brothers. Many days of agony will you pay for this, because you will give an account for every idle word, and you will not conform to the sheep who are in a far journey, here in America especially, separated from the commonwealth, driven out by Yahweh, who said himself, I will drive them into a land never, 2 Samuel 7:10, never to return. And when you find yourself and wake up to who I am and know me, and remember my name, and come back to keep my commandment, and keep my second Passover. Because you're in a far journey, but you can sacrifice wherever you find yourself, in the gate, at your own place. You can get you a lamb, and you can sacrifice the Passover. You can take the bitter herbs, which is nothing but a salad, and you can get your horseradish, which is bitter herbs, and you can kill the lamb and eat its body in remembrance as a memorial And what a joy it is, although it's a solemn assembly. Although there's tears in my eyes when I take or partake, yet I look at my brothers and sisters who faithfully assemble, just a few, every year, drive long distances, pay out large sums of money at their own expense, do not come to the festival empty-handed, and always abounding in the love and the support of the gospel of truth and revelation. We invite you tonight to attend Passover with us, beginning on the evening of the 27th, which is on a Thursday, for an old-fashioned foot washing. Gathering right here in East Tennessee, call for directions. Be glad to give them to you. And come and join us if you qualify. You will be examined, and rightfully so. We just don't lay hands suddenly on any brother. But if you're honest, and you are of the house of Israel, our hearts and our gates are open to you when we kill the lamb on the 14th day of the second Passover and celebrate it in the evening meal of the 15th. Yahweh was alive when they had killed the lamb. He was talking. He was walking. And he was revelating only to them who can receive the revelation. If you can't see it and it's over your head, I feel sorry for you. If it's because that you got to please mama or daddy, I know some preachers that preach a lot more Bible if they could because their wife won't let them. I'm not under a dress tail. I don't have a woman over me to run my assembly or my thoughts or my convictions. I have one by my side. But if she wouldn't bake me another biscuit in the name of Yahweh, she wouldn't get a chance to bake one. Why? Because I'll have nothing out of the name. I will not fellowship anybody out of the name and very few people in it. I'm very choosy. And the Bible said, choose this day who you'll serve. Well, for me and my house, David said, I'm going to serve Yahweh. If it hire lifts the devil, puts a kink in his back, and makes him madder than hell, he'll have to get over it, because he's going to have a long time. And all of you people that's deceived, who go about your traditional ways, who ain't got enough man like Ezekiel, when Yahweh said, get up and stand on your feet and be a man. Quiet yourself. You know, men, they'll say, what's the word say? And you read them in the scripture and they say, that's what I believe. These so-called will say, could you water it down just a little bit? Honey bunny don't like that. She can't agree with that. Well, when it comes to racial covenant, you separate the men from the boys. We don't fellowship with anything that's not racial covenant to Yahweh. If you're not one of His, if you're not a blushing Israelite, you can forget it, because we won't fellowship with you. Not because we hate you, but because we are a special chosen people who believe in kind after kind. Stay with your own kind. We're satisfied to stay with ours. We love our women. We love our children. We love the men and brethren. We fellowship the truth, and we believe the Bible, and we can all say, praise Yahweh, and give us more word. They that of Yahweh will hear Yahweh's word. They hear not because they're not of Yahweh. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you got my message tonight. Remember the second Passover and keep it holy. Learn not the ways of the heathen. Be as old Apollos, who wanted the way of Yahweh more perfectly. This is part two. This will end our series on the way of Yahweh, the Passover, the way of Yahweh more perfectly. If you'd like these two copies, just write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to call me, area code 423-338-1972. If you'd like to call our office and leave a message, we'd be glad to return your call. at area code 423-626-2172. You can write me at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. And our message tonight, sponsored by Brother Mark and Sister Audrey, who made this hour possible for you, to learn not the way of the heathen, but to learn the true way. Separate yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the word, and prove all things, and it might make you a member of the few, and not a follower of the many. Praise Yahweh. Well, we love you. I'll see you around the world come Monday night, Yahweh willing, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Worldwide WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel, the transmitting jewel of the South. I'll see you then, and may Yahweh take a liking to you, and I love you. Yahweh bless.